Chapter 3. The beautiful blonde woman that I left sleeping this morning did not hold back when she slapped me. Slapped doesn't properly describe what she did. Katie turned and pulled her palm back behind her shoulder to gather momentum and then swung her arm in a majestic arc. Her open hand struck me across my face along the way. Since Katie's profession required a good deal of strength, this was not a dainty or petite slap. This was the slap of a woman who meant business. 3 days ago, she was manhandling furniture. Today, she moved on to manhandling me. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? Katie's voice was breathy and higher pitched than it normally was. I made her worry. I needed to apologize. I'm really glad you didn't leave. I leaned forward and kissed her on the forehead. Then I got a taste of her left hand. At the time, it was closed into a fist. The southpaw haymaker connected with my chest with a heavy thud. I stumbled back and sat down hard, forcing the front door closed as I fell into it. Katie was furious. She was standing there wearing the same blue jean capris she had worn to work 3 days ago, and the blue t-shirt she had taken out of my dresser. She looked good in blue. Sitting there on the floor, I realized how brown my house was. Many of the rooms were lacquered wood panel walls. The carpet throughout the house was a sandy-colored shag carpet that I assumed was installed during the 70s. I liked the shag carpet. It felt good on my face after I had too many margaritas. Katie was a very beautiful but very angry spot of blue in my otherwise brown house. "You left. In the middle of all this." She frantically waved her hand around the room. I think she was indicating all of the terrible events that had happened outside in the world over the past few days, and not the room itself. I hope she didn't mean the room itself. "You didn't leave a note. You didn't leave any sort of message. And you left me. The world is ending, and you left me." She wasn't yelling, but her tone and emphasis told me that this was not the time to be a smartass. "I didn't want to wake you," I said as I raised my hands to show that I was defenseless. "You look so..." She knelt down and looked me in the eye. She whispered the words that came next. "Why did you leave?" She stared at me. Her eyebrows and mouth looked very angry, but her freckles and eyes were still some of the most beautiful things I had seen in recent years. I patted the ground next to me to find the reason for my morning adventure. I found the silky, soft texture with my left hand and held aloft her blue, homemade bra purse. "Well, I thought you might need this." I let the words sink in, and I watched her face. It was a response I was hoping for. She looked at it confused at first, and then I saw the happiness spread across her face as she recognized her handiwork. Then her face went back to confusion. "You went to get this out of my locker? Your workroom, actually. I've forgotten how much I love the smell of leather and strong bonding agents." "Why?" She sat down on the floor in front of me and took the purse in her hand, looking at it like it might not be real. "Well, because last night when I asked you if you had any way to protect yourself and you said, 'Yes, but it's in my gun safe and the key is in my purse.' I do not sound like that," she said, apparently displeased with my sexy southern debutante voice. But her voice was coming out a little closer to normal now. "You should have told me what you were doing. You, my strong-willed lady friend, would not have let me go at all, or you would have insisted that you come along too. And I wanted to use this morning as an opportunity to size up what's out there." I passed Katie the chunk of horn that I collected from the giant black and purple man-gorilla thing. "What is out there?" she asked quietly as she took the horn from my hand. It was black when I first collected it off the street. It had somehow dulled to the color of bone. "Well, there are things you probably remember. Giant animals, demon-possessed people. Walmart is finally closed." She looked up and stared at me. I guess she was wondering how I could joke at a time like this. "What did this come off of?" she said, indicating the horn in her hand. I paused. I wasn't sure if I wanted to give Katie all the details of the giant mosquito and its rider, but she was going outdoors soon enough. and would see things for herself. There would be no point in hiding it from a woman who just slapped and punched a man who has at least 30 pounds on her. She's a strong woman. She could take it. I told her about the horned monkey demon and the whip. I told her about the mosquitoes and their school bus-sized sacks full of corpses. I told her about the old lady I hit with a car. And I told her about Greg. As I gave her the details, she looked at the bite mark on my forearm and the welt the whip laid across my chest. She took my hand and led me into the kitchen. She put her hands to my lips to stop me from talking long enough to ask where I kept bandages. I pointed to the cupboard that acted as my medicine cabinet. I finished giving her all the details I could think of as she began to try to clean the bite mark with hydrogen peroxide. So these diamond stones, her eyes looked at the bubbles forming into teeth marks. They're like some sort of weak spot? Well, they're not made of diamond, but they're in the shape of diamonds, like a suit from a deck of cards. I'm not sure what they're made of. It looks like onyx or obsidian. But yes, a weak spot indeed, my lady. When I took out the gorillas, he shrunk. He had 3 stones, so it was like I took part of his power. Greg and Barney only had the 1. When I tried to take his out, his belly exploded. And that was before you cut off his head? She rubbed ointment over the teeth marks. After, I replied. I took a little off the top, and then, his stomach burst like a cartoon not meant for children. I smiled at her as I said this. The smile was not returned. Right, she said. Her voice was flat. She was deliberately trying to sound calm, but there was a little tremble there that told me the truth. She put her hands with open palms to her forehead and put her back to the wall and slowly slid down into a fetal position on the floor. I am not a very smart man, so forgive me if my next question offends you. What's wrong? The world is ending. Her voice was still flat. It's full of monsters and demons and people that have demons inside them. Her eyes were open, staring straight in front of her. I am so scared that I want to scream and throw up. The pitch of her voice was beginning to rise. I don't know if my parents are alive or if my friends are alive or what I'm going to eat for dinner tonight. I smell like a loaf of bread that's going bad and you just slapped a man for leaving you alone during all this. I laid next to her on the kitchen floor. I reached out and brushed her hair as I spoke. Because you are a strong, reasonable woman. You know how things should work. If a man leaves you alone during a time of danger, you slap him. Then if he tries to joke about it, you punch. If he's hurt, I put up my freshly tended arm in her view. You fix him up as best you can. Her eyes filled with tears, and she tried to smile. She was trying to fight off panic, I could tell.
You are Katie Holt.
I sat up and put her head in my lap. I took her hands in mine and squeezed them softly. It seemed like the right thing to do at the time. You have turned damaged leather cushions into wonderful things that humans put their asses on. You have taken chairs shredded by cats and sofas mauled by dogs and turned them into beautiful pieces of furniture. You take your skill, Katie, and make broken things whole again. Tears ran down each side of her face. But the world is ending. Her eyes were so beautiful. And in that moment, her eyes asked for some sort of answer. Just as much as her words did. I needed to be careful here. I took a breath. So we, Katie Holt and Ernie Wood, just have to figure out what's next. Simple thoughts for complicated times. In my darkest hour, that is what I learned. Simple thoughts for complicated times. We decide our next move, and we try to figure out the best way to make that move. These words were said to me repeatedly during that dark time of my life. At a time when I was in the fetal position on the floor, much like Katie was now. Decide our next move, and the best way to make it. decide our next move, and the best way to make it. I repeated this several times, with a breath in between. I repeated the line two more times, and on the final time, Katie joined in. So, what is our next move? She tilted her head as she asked. I think we need to get you your shotgun. I leaned down and kissed her forehead. That's why I went to get your purse. Okay. Katie sat up and pulled the hair away from her face. But what do we do after that? If you think too far ahead, you start focusing on all the what-ifs and the possible complications of all the future things that haven't happened yet. Focus on this one task. Once it's done, we'll take the next step. One step at a time, one move at a time. But if you don't think about the future, then you're not ready for it, Katie said with some frustration in her voice. I was the same way when I was first counseled with this information. Very true. But there's a lot we can't control right now. We just can't. We have to accept that. So instead of thinking of all those things we can't control, focus your energy on this one task and what we can do to make sure it happens. For instance, what is the best way we can get to your house from here? I patted her leg and gave her a little smile. Katie told me the route that would be the fastest. I asked her to tell me a different route just in case that was blocked. Then for a third route in case both of those were blocked. If we had to go on foot, what would be the fastest route? As she spoke, I gently lifted her off the floor. I handed Katie her purse, and I grabbed a book bag from my bedroom closet and threw in some bandages, bottled water, and a few cans of black beans from my pantry. When Katie was done telling me how to get to her house on foot, I presented the next portion of our scenario. Is there anything here I can give you to help you feel more safe? Do you have a gun? She asked me quickly and deliberately. She wanted something to hold on to for protection. I don't keep guns, sorry. Needed to think quickly here before fear set in further. But I have a bat in the garage. I can break you off a table leg to use as a club. I never eat at the kitchen table anyway. I have some knives. What's the biggest knife you have? My favorite knife. I went back into the kitchen and pulled open my knife drawer. Is this big beauty? I pulled out a cleaver with a pearl-colored handle. I bought this lady from a girl who was selling Sharpco knives out of a catalog a couple years ago. She was going door to door and looked like she was fresh out of high school. I flipped the blade over in my hand and offered the handle to Katie. Why don't you give her a name? Katie sighed as she took it from my hand. Why does everything have to be a she? Boats, cars, guns. Does everything have to be a she? It can be whatever you want it to be. I smiled at her. It was genuine. I was happy to see the panic subsiding and her personality was coming through again. Well, it's a knife, a cleaver. I think we should give it a clever name. Like cleavage. She paused for a second and then guffawed. I like cleavage, I said as I leaned in and brushed her cheek with my nose. I know you do. She kissed me. Her kisses were like strawberry jam, sex your older sister, man, I'm telling you. She gently held my head and added, Thank you, Ernie. I'm glad I could help. Now, please change your clothes. You smell terrible. Oh. I took a moment and looked at the dried sweat, blood, and dirt that was covering my clothes and skin. Let me take care of that real quick. I went back to the bedroom and picked out my favorite shirt, a pair of pants, and comfortable shoes. You can decide what they look like. Just know I look awesome in them. Before I put them on, I rubbed off as much of the funk as I could with a clean towel. With running water out of the picture, this was as clean as I was getting without wasting drinking water. What do you call this? Katie called from the next room. What do I call what? I entered the room, pulling my shirt over my head, and found her holding my katana. She and the katana were both things of beauty. The blade's sheath was sanded and lacquered oak, or at least a wood that looked a lot like oak. The wrap of the sheath and the handle were the gray color of dirty snow. The wrap on the handle had been stained with both Greg's and the Gorilla Goat Demon's blood. That katana, I remembered the weeks of waiting I had to sit through after I ordered it. The sword was the first thing I had bought for myself in a long time, aside from food, toilet paper, and those sorts of things. I had paid way too much money for it, and waited for weeks for it to come in the mail. While I waited, I looked up everything I could about how to maintain it, the proper way to use it. I bought the oil and special paper to clean it. I was in love with this thing before it ever arrived. I learned everything I could, how to take it apart, how to hold it, and different styles of fighting with it. With every piece of information I got my hands on, I wanted to feel the weight of my katana in my hands even more. The day finally came when the long, odd-shaped package arrived on my doorstep. Opening that box and seeing it for the first time, it was like being a kid again. It was Christmas morning. Katie asked me a question. I don't have a name for it yet. What do you think I should call it? Something better than cleavage. Katie gave me a devious smile that let me know she was feeling much better. Are you ready for me to escort you home, my dear? I bowed and held out my hand. She took my hand and spun towards the door. She blew me a kiss using the cleaver and said, Vamos, Ernesto, mi amor. Oh, sí, pretty lady. I like it when you talk the Spanish to me. The world outside was still the hazy color of amber that it had been this morning and for the past 2 days. The air smelled like smoke, burning rubber, burning trash, burning everything. There were distant sounds of constant struggle, gunshots, and screams. I don't like the way it sounds out here, Katie said as she got into the car. The only sounds immediately around us were our footsteps. The leaves and pine needles barely even moved in the trees. Katie shut her door as gently as she could. She hissed at me when I shut my door. I grinned as I turned the key, and my big blue Nova made as much noise as a schoolboy bus. What if somebody hears this thing? Well, if they're not friendly, I'll run them over. If they are friendly, we'll play it by ear. Katie didn't look too happy about that last remark. I'm just kidding. I would definitely not run over an innocent person. I put the car into reverse and pulled into the neighborhood street. How did you manage to get to work and back? I thought the roads would be clogged with wrecks. Some of the bigger vehicles, like box trucks and 18-wheelers, pushed all the smaller vehicles out of the way. Most of the roads I've been down have plenty of room for us to travel down the center of the road. Now, is there anything I should prepare for myself for to see in your house? A collection of creepy dolls? A room devoted to clowns? No creepy collections to speak of. But there will still be evidence of my ex-husband here and there. He was supposed to... What the hell is going on up there? Up ahead to the left side of the road was a man dressed in a black suit. He was spray painting something onto the side of a white car. The guy was about 6 feet tall with shaggy and thick dark hair. As we got closer, I could see that there were other people inside of the car. It looked like a family. All of them were dressed like they were on their way to a funeral. I slowed to a stop next to them. The letters F-O-R-G-I-V were painted on the side of the car. Hey, man, I called out the window. Are you and the family all right? The only face to turn and look at me belonged to a teenage girl. She had the same thick hair as her father, with sad-looking brown eyes. She looked like she had been crying. The mom, the dad, and the son all ignored me. None of them showed any signs of being possessed. The dad in the suit finished painting an E, then he turned and looked at me. He looked like he had been crying too. His eyes met mine, and we stared at each other for a long, uncomfortable moment. He turned back to his car and continued to spray letters on the side of the car. The mom clutched a necklace or something similar in her hands and was praying so hard that she was rocking back and forth. The girl continued to stare at me. I put the car in park and opened my door. "Are all of you okay in there? Do you need—" "You stay away from my family!" the man yelled, and he slammed his body into my door. "You stay away from us. Keep going wherever you're going. We know what we're doing here." The eye contact between me and the spray-painting father was pretty intense. "Is that true? Everyone okay?" I spoke loud enough to address the family in the car, but kept eye contact with the dark-haired father in the black suit. The daughter nodded slightly and then turned away and stared at the back of her mother's head in front of her. "Well, sorry to bother you folks," I said. Katie and I pulled away as the dad finished his work and got into the driver's seat. In the rearview mirror, I could make out his painted message on the side of the car. "Forgive her." Thankfully, Katie took my mind off of that little bit of foreboding graffiti. "Ernie, I think the lights are on." I followed her finger and found that there was a house with a shining front porch light and electric lighting coming from inside the house. The next few houses all had power. Katie and I could see the shifting lights of TVs coming on from a few houses. "This is the way I came home. Those lights weren't on earlier." I felt like I needed to tell Katie. "Maybe the power will be on at my place." Katie patted my arm in rapid-fire succession. "Go, Ernie, go! Is this the turn? Yeah, yeah, slide it, let's go!" I picked up the pace and darted around the cars and debris on Katy Street. "Which house is it?" "The white one with the gray roof, right there." As soon as I was close to the house, Katie burst from the car and ran up to her front door. She put her keys in the door, but the door opened from the inside. Standing in the doorway was the man I knew to be Katie's ex-husband.